Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo. Over in Tupelo, it'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Rupolo was in Chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
There's a P in there.
Okay.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. All of the great coffees available for sale at the restaurant, they're available right there to you online, and you can have a great cup of coffee to start your day each and every morning.
I'm going to guess Chihuahua is an Indian name.
Probably. The county it's in is probably an Indian name, too.
Yeah. I mean, you got about a 98% chance that something in Mississippi is going to be an Indian name.
It's either that or, like, you know, a former president or something, you know?
So, right.
So, do you want to guess the county for Chihuahua? Give you one guess.
Tippa.
A good guess, but you're wrong. It's in Pontotoc.
Oh, well, it's close. Up there somewhere.
Close, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. To make it simple, you need to get people into the front door of your business, they've got a solution for you and a way to make that happen. If you need great signage for in and outside of your business, they've got that. Of course, if you need to get some mailers done. You need to get coupons out to your customers, flyers, any kind of promotional material. They've got that, too, at Pip Printing and Signs. And when you join up now and you tell them you heard about them on Thunder and Lightning, 10% of your sale goes right back to the Bulldog Initiative. You become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending any extra money. That's a no-lose proposition. Call my friend Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, and they've got it, and you are looking for it. You're looking to replace all those banner M polos. It's time to get new polos. It's time to get the state script, the interlocking, the M over S into your wardrobe if you haven't done it already. And if you have done it already, you can always use a new one. Father's Day is just coming up. Tell the family to go to College Corner to take care of you this Father's Day. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, where you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to grab the best meal in town at lunch, at dinner, at Sunday brunch. If you are looking for a great dinner to take someone out that, you know, that special someone, Restaurant Tyler is the place to do it. Great steaks, chops, pastas, fantastic appetizers, and of course, my favorite dessert in all of the city of Starkville, the famous stuffed pancake. So enjoy that. Enjoy a great night out. It is always a special occasion when you eat at Restaurant Tyler. There are 16 Priority One Bank locations in Central Mississippi. That means if you live in Central Mississippi, there's one near you. And that means that if you are in Central Mississippi and you're kind of tired of dealing with these big corporate banks and you'd like to have a little bit more of that home-style service, you can get that at Priority One. But you don't lose any of the financial power that you have. They can still help you manage your money in all the ways a big corporate bank does, but they're going to take care of you at the customer level. That's the difference that they provide. They work for your money. They don't make you work for your money. If you got a question, it's just a phone call away. Not a 1-800 number, a 601 number. So don't you get to know Priority One Bank. The website, again, PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. And, of course, today on the Rumblings, we are brought to you by Superior Catfish. The Superior Catfish Tour will be up and running very, very soon. We'll have dates. We know some of our stops, and we're going to put everything out there for you very, very soon. But between now and then, you guys, you need to be vigilant about where you're getting your catfish from. When you go to your favorite place for catfish, you need to ask, is he serving Superior Catfish? And if they're not, Well, I mean, it's not superior catfish, and that's just the way that it is. I have become a catfish snob. Since I did the catfish tour, since I've started working with the good folks over at Superior, I seek it out. Like, when I go get catfish in Starkville, if I'm not going to Little Dewey or to Obie's, that's pretty much it. I may not be getting catfish just about anywhere else. So I've learned that there is a difference in catfish, and I can taste it when I eat Superior catfish, and you will too. So if your local grocery store doesn't carry Superior catfish, ask them if they can. If your local restaurants don't carry Superior catfish, ask them why not. There's catfish, Robbie, and then there's Superior catfish.
That's right. I can't wait to have some more.
Third member of the broadcast team has joined us here today, the lovely Natty Falk. Natty, how are you?
Great.
Good. Good. Are you going to answer a question with us today? Let's see if we got one that you can answer, because it is rumbling today. So we'll I'm going to see if we can find a question that Natty would have an answer to.
Let me get her thoughts on Angel Hernandez.
Yeah. You know what? Let's just make it easy. Natty, what is your favorite kind of ice cream?
It's strawberry lemonade.
Strawberry lemonade ice cream? I've never heard of that. That sounds good. All right. Well, we'll let your dad answer the questions from here on out. So here we go. First off, Robbie, I have a question. What is that shirt you're wearing? What is on that shirt? What is that?
Tanner Allen.
Oh, that's a cool shirt. I like that. I like that.
TA's face.
Yeah, see that? All I could see was the top, but like the haircut. And I was like, what is that? So, all right, let's just jump right in here to our first questions. First one comes to us from Kobe, who asked, do we think Mississippi State's in a favorable regional? I think favorable is a hard word to use anytime you're not hosting, because then you're just sort of, you know, if you're not in the Tennessee regional, you're probably in a regional you feel like you can win, especially on the other side of the bracket, right? If you're in a 9-16 regional, if you're the two, you feel pretty good about your chances, I think.
I don't think there was anything that was particularly favorable for Mississippi State as far as their draw if they weren't hosting, like you said, because it's just like we talked about, if they were the 16 seed, if they had barely gotten in and they matched them up with Tennessee, then if you win your regional, you're playing Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think it's a winnable regional. Yeah. I think Virginia is a really good team. I think their offense might be one of the best in the country. I think Mississippi State has beaten some good offenses this year with their pitching. So, I don't think it's an unwinnable regional for Mississippi State. But I don't think that Virginia's pitching is going to be super dominant either. So if the offense comes along for the Bulldogs in this regional, I think they can win it. I don't know if it's favorable or not, but I think it's a winnable regional.
I agree with you. Clark County Dog. Brian, you have been blessed to see most, if not all, of your favorite sports teams win at least one championship. Please rank the championships your teams have won in terms of the pride it brought you. First off, Robbie is in the same boat with me, right? Robbie, you've seen Super Bowls, and you're a Lakers fan, and you're a Yankees fan, so you've had all of this too. I feel like, for me, I got to put the College World Series in. It's in a different level, right? Much closer to my heart, you know, much more personal than the pro championships I won. When your college team wins something versus your pro team, I mean, maybe it's different in the North where they're so into their pro teams, but down here, the stuff you do with your college team, that's clearly going to be my number one, right?
You're way more invested.
Right, right. I would think, for me, the Saints Super Bowl is probably the number one of the pro ones, because it's the only one that I have, right? The Giants have won 3, and the Lakers have, in my lifetime, the Lakers have won 11. So, I don't know how much I separate all of the Lakers ones from the Giants. My favorite one was the first one. You know, the next two were really cool, but the first one, I had no the Giants weren't the best team in baseball throughout that season. They got into the wild card, and it was just like, we'll see how it goes. And then they just kept winning, and it was really fun. It was a fun ride. For the Lakers, my favorite championship is probably, was it 2000, where the only game they lost was game one to the Sixers? And that was the only game they lost in the entire playoffs, I think.
Might have been.
Yeah, something like that.
Shaq and Kobe.
Shaq and Kobe, when they were at their absolute peak. Robert Horry and Fish and all those guys. But I love that that last championship team that Kobe was on in 2010 where they beat the Celtics in seven games. I enjoy that. Anytime they could beat Paul Pierce, I was a big fan of that. The Chelsea,
especially after they had gotten destroyed.
Yeah, 2 years
previously.
Prior. Yeah,
yeah.
The Chelsea stuff is a lot of fun, and I enjoy it very much. But it's not. It just isn't, because Chelsea has only been a part of my life for like 10 years now. Whereas I've been a Saints fan and a Lakers fan and a Giants fan my whole life. So those championships are cool, but they're not on the same tier as the other ones. How many Steelers Super Bowls have you had? Three?
That I've witnessed?
Yeah, that you've been alive for. Two?
Two. 2004,
mm-hmm.
I think, and then 2008.
Do you like one better than
2009? The win over the Cardinals definitely mm-hmm. trumps the one over the Seahawks. The one over the Seahawks was just – they kind of controlled that. Mm-hmm. It felt like most of the game.
One the of Cardinals the win all-time was all-time great game.
Yeah,
yeah.
The James you had Harrison the thing. You had the pick six by James Harrison right before halftime, and then Santonio Holmes had the game-winning touchdown, the toe tap.
Yeah, which is an all-time catch. It's not even. Yes. Like, I mean, I get that.
And you that's all I've seen.
One, right, you lost to the.
Yeah, lost two. We lost to the Cowboys in '95.
Okay, you would have been around for that. Yeah,
I vaguely remember that. And I was born a Steelers fan. My dad's been a Steelers fan since the 70s. So we obviously were invested in that. And my mom's family is all Cowboys fans. So, you know, that was a point of contention, I guess. But that one and then the Packers. And I get the years mixed up because the seasons and then when they play the championship are – different in the years. It was 2010 or 09 maybe when they played that. So that one was tough too. Lost Aaron Rodgers. That's the last time they've been to a Super Bowl because they've run up against either the Patriots or the Chiefs.
Yeah.
When they had their best teams.
Yeah.
And it was just really difficult to get past them. So it's kind of been an uphill battle ever since.
This next question, I don't know, Robbie. What do you guys consider to be the top five best uniforms in sports history? I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. Just give me, right off the top of your head, like the first thing that comes to me is Yankees pinstripes. I mean, they're just classic. Iconic. Yeah, that would be one. People may get mad, but Alabama's uniforms, classic. They don't ever change. Love them. Penn State's, same way. UCLA, I think, has a great uniform. That blue, it just pops. Any the other
blue and blue
in pro sports? Is there like what in the NFL? What is the best uniform? Where I'm just like I like the
way I love the Eagles throwback uniforms. Yeah, that green. Color green.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good call. In the NBA, I mean, I love the Lakers home the yellows. And then. There's not really one in the NBA. I mean, for the
Bulls,
the Bulls red uniforms. I've always been a big fan of.
I know you absolutely hate Boston, but I love the Celtics green.
Nah, dog.
Looks good.
Nah, I disagree. Looks like vomit. Looks like a leprechaun went on a bender and threw up all over the place. Cameron Cady, thoughts on Angel Hernandez's retirement? So let's talk about this. Is this the most iconically, or I'm sorry, universally thrilling that somebody's quitting their job that you ever heard in your life? Have you ever been like met more people? Because let's say you have a bad coach, right? Like Kroom retires and State fans are like, yes, thank God. But the Ole Miss fans aren't happy, right? They're like, oh, we were hoping he would stay.
Yeah.
This guy, find me one guy who's like, man, I can't believe he's going to retire. That sucks so bad. Nobody. Everybody's thrilled that this guy is
people gone. That work with him, other umpires.
You know who's unhappy today? Whoever the second worst umpire is in MLB, because now they're the worst. Yep. They just moved up.
Well, yeah. Bye.
Bye. We'll kind of answer that next one about the path. Is the path to Omaha more favorable in y'all's opinion to the draw we got, or if we would have hosted? If you're correct, if State being a host meant they would have been the 16th seed and paired with Tennessee, then the path to Omaha is more favorable this way.
Yeah, I think that was most certainly going to happen.
Okay.
So it was either you get to host or and you play Tennessee in the Super Regional, or you don't. You go on the road and you don't have to play Tennessee.
Yeah. Caleb Rhodes says, rank these chain steakhouses, Longhorn, Outback, Texas Roadhouse, Logan's.
Ooh.
I've been to all of them.
I like Logan's a lot.
I like Logan's. I think Outback is one. Outback is the best one. They do a good
job. Is Texas Roadhouse and Logan's not pretty much the same thing?
They're very similar. But I will tell you what puts Texas Roadhouse ahead of Logan's. The bread. That's the bread with the cinnamon butter.
Yes.
That's I think that's two. I think.
Okay, I would put Texas Roadhouse. Because is that the place with the peanut shells too?
Yes.
See, everybody likes the peanuts.
Yeah. So that's
two. And then Longhorn, then Logan's.
Longhorn, then Logan's. Okay, I can live with that. Logan's,
I just had Logan's the other day.
See, the thing with Logan's is it's Logan's Roadhouse, not Steakhouse. They got a lot of other stuff other than steak there. Whereas, and so Texas is the same way as Texas Roadhouse. Longhorn and Outback are more steak. Outback, to me, is the best. I have never been to Outback and had a bad meal. Never. Every time I go, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. Brogan Fairchild, what's the biggest overreaction you've gotten from a question you've asked at a press conference? That's a good one. You got a good one? Got a good story?
Yeah, last week. two weeks ago.
That's right. That's
Chris
right.
Chris Lemonis is ready to fight me over misunderstanding my question.
I'm trying to do that.
I think that's probably the one for me. I can't remember another time where somebody got really upset about something I said, you know?
Yeah. Like, Moorhead said something to me one time, but it wasn't about a question. It was just at the end of his press conference. I think he had been listening to the podcast, and I'd been critical of him, so he was just angry with me, but whatever. Totally merited it, I promise.
And the other one I had was also Lemonis last year after Kentucky, when I asked him, when I mentioned, you know, you've lost 13 straight SEC games, what do you kind of see as the issue that's kept you from winning an SEC game the last four or five series that you've had? And he didn't like that either. And I don't think his staff did either.
Yeah, well, they'll get over it. And if they don't, well, I don't care. It's not an overreaction, but we all know your Vic Schaefer story. Come have a walk with me, brother.
Walk with me, brother.
It's still one of the funniest things ever. I don't really like Mullen didn't overreact when I asked that question where he waited 10 seconds to answer it. He was perfectly But that one stands out to me. Leach, I never got Leach a question that made him go, eh. Arnett.
Yeah. We never made Leach mad, I don't think.
Arnett just overreacted before you even asked him the question. Just dropping F-bombs all over the place. And then Howland never. I mean, what? Howland's the nicest guy. He would never overreact. That's a phenomenal question, Brian. Yeah. So I don't really have a good one. Let's move on here. Next question from Brogan. If we were in a band together and we could perform at any concert the last 60 years, which one would it be? So if we're going back to 64, we can be you and I, Haydad and Falk.
Woodstock,
I mean, it's got to be it, right? You want to play Parse Lollapalooza?
Haydad and Falk singing the, I guess we could sing like Flower Power stuff.
Are we like Griffin and, like Peter Griffin and Quagmire? I mean, they're doing the folk music. You ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? Stuff like that. You know? So freaking good.
Right. Like Bob Dylan stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Colton Watson, could the Kamario Taylor hype come back to hurt State? If this isn't the most poor old Mississippi State question about that, do you think State's recruiting a quarterback who's too good? That's what you just asked, Colton. You just asked if Mississippi State should recruit a quarterback who isn't getting recruiting hype so that they can hold on to him.
This fan base never ceases to amaze.
It's just like
it never ceases. It's either why aren't we recruiting better players?
Yeah.
Or oh my gosh, we're recruiting players that other people want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like which do you want to recruit really good players or not?
Well, Colton.
That's the question you have to ask yourself.
Buck up, Colton. Are Taylor and Cunningham
not being so scared?
That's right. Are Taylor and Cunningham's recruitment linked? And if so, to what extent? I don't think so. I mean, it certainly is going to help in Cunningham's recruitment to have a top-notch quarterback committed as well. But if Caleb Cunningham, you know, doesn't come to Mississippi State, I don't think it means that Kamara Taylor is going to follow him anywhere. Not necessarily. I don't think that Kamara Taylor being committed to Mississippi State is it makes it an absolute 100% lock that Caleb Cunningham's coming to Mississippi State.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're really linked, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Like you said, having a guy like that can sling it around, and it was also a Mississippi guy that isn't that far down the road from Caleb. I think it can't hurt. Yeah.
They have to know each other from camps and stuff like that. So.
Well, they're at the Elite Series.
Yeah.
So,
Ryan Wade, I'm still rocking NCAA Football 06 on the PS2.
Oh my gosh,
gracious! Which gaming system should you buy? I buy ahead of College Football 25, a PS5, Xbox Series S, or Xbox Series X? I don't know anything about the two Xboxes and how good they are. I have a PS5. I'm very happy with it. I like it a lot. If you're already on the PS2, you know, you might want to stick with PlayStation just so you're not trying to learn new controls. I mean, I'll just tell you, when I bought an Xbox 360 after years of PlayStation, and the first, like, month of playing games, you know, X and Y and B and A were just messing with me, so I would stick with PlayStation. They're both good. They're all good series.
Well, I've had PS1, PS2, and now I have a PS5, and I had Xbox 360, and I will say I've enjoyed the PlayStations more than I have the 360, and it's been a very durable device too over the years. I never had any issues with it. Xbox 360, I went through two or three of those with the red ring of death and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I would suggest the PS5. And I just got one, and it's been great so far.
Ace Winston asks, in what world is Florida a good team for the tourney? Regardless of strength of schedule, you have to actually win ball games, right? Florida being in is the biggest mistake of this tournament. They're one game over 500. I don't care who they beat. You got to win more games than that.
Them and Coastal Carolina was the other one that was like barely got in. Both of them probably didn't deserve to get in.
Yeah.
But I believe I'm correct. Coastal Carolina's AD is also on this committee. I could be wrong.
He is on the committee.
So two ADs whose teams were probably not worthy of getting in.
So,
are on the committee, and they both get in.
Let's play hypothetical then. If Zach Selman was on this committee, does Mississippi State host?
I think they have a better shot than what they did.
I think there's one other Power 5 AD in there. I think Arizona doesn't host, if that's the case.
Could be, yeah. I think it's turning into like a political thing. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah. Harrison, Rumbling's question, are you related to the Hey Dads that had the one Hey Dads outdoors in Vicksburg? I have many memories stopping in there on my way to my granddad's farm near Eagle Lake. That would be a hell of a coincidence if I wasn't related to those Hey Dads from Vicksburg now, wouldn't it? Yes, I'm related to them. It's like my third cousin. that's those other Hey Dads. We don't talk about them.
Yeah, they're not. You say that, though, like there's where I'm from, where I live right now, and in this Webster County, Choctaw County area, there's tons of people with the same last name that are not related to each other. And it's like super specific names. It's not like Smith or Johnson or something like that, although there's a bunch of Johnsons and some of them are related and some of them aren't.
Yeah.
There's some like super specific names. You're like, oh, how are you related to so-and-so? Well, like, we're not kin at all. Like, what? How did that happen? So you never know.
Yeah, it does happen. That being said, if you see a hate ad in Vicksburg, chances are I'm related.
There you go.
Reed Green, in honor of Memorial Day, rank these military movies miniseries. Band of Brothers, The Pacific, Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, Saving Private Ryan. all great, first and foremost. I don't know what it is. I love Full Metal Jacket. I love it. It's just one of my favorite movies. I enjoy watching that movie. It's not a very heartwarming tale, put it that way, but I just
enjoy
that movie.
I'm going to go Band of Brothers first, Saving Private Ryan second, and then The Pacific, Full Metal Jacket, and Platoon.
Okay. I can live with that. I can live with that. Now we're going to rank Mississippi State football moments. Third and 57, Brian Hazelwood's game-winning field goal versus Alabama in 1996. Corey Broomfield's pick six versus Ole Miss. Vic Ballard and Chris Rolfe running wild versus Michigan. Jamion Lewis's wide open touchdown down the sideline versus LSU. So these are not your, you know, there's no Dax run against LSU here. There's no these are some lesser known moments for sure. I like that. We will probably never see third and 57 again. We did have third and 96 that time. But I mean, those are just so rare. And I was in the end zone so seeing the ball go over his head twice. I mean, it's impossible to explain how batch language coming up. I'm sorry. I got to say it. Language. Earmuff those kids. How batshit crazy that was that happened. It was insane. I mean, when they got to third and 57, he was snapping it from inside his end zone. I mean, the place was about to fall apart. People were going crazy. I'm putting
because that. people were thinking he's about to snap it over their head again.
I'm not going
to
do it again. I was like, well, and they end up taking a safety, but yeah. I legitimately thought I was like, he's going to do it again. His ball's going out of the end zone here. I might catch
that. They were totally rattled at that point.
Yeah. I'm going that one. I love Broomfield's pick six against Ole Miss where he points at Jevon Snead and then jukes him. Because that was the moment where we knew that State had won. We're like, they've won at this point. So that's going to be two.
That was kind of a tipping point in the rivalry for a little bit.
It was. Ballard and Relf. I mean, they beat Michigan 52-14. That's Michigan. Yeah. That's got to be
three. Brand.
Hazelwood's field goal. But when I think of that game, though, I think of Reggie Kelly's long, long run after the catch. That's the play that I think of in that game more than anything else. Alabama had just taken the lead back, and I think everybody was like, okay, they got the lead back, now it's over. And then they dump the ball off to Reggie Kelly, and he breaks a couple tackles and runs down to about the 20-yard line. That's the play I think of. But we'll go with the field goal there. Jamion Lewis's wide-open touchdown, really cool play, but, I mean, it's not even the most iconic play in that game. So,
but I feel like that was kind of like
that was the backbreaker, though.
The step on your throat moment.
Yeah. That might be the most wide open I've ever seen a Mississippi State receiver. He was literally by himself.
It was a CJ Sermones type.
Yeah, yeah. That even Sermones, there was somebody else in the screen, but there was nobody near this guy. So that's a good one. Good memories there, though, Reed. I like that. We'll do one more, and then we'll do the break here. Steve Mormon with a very important question, Robbie. I know that State is headed to Charlottesville and Southern Mississippi is headed to Knoxville. Haven't seen where Ole Miss is playing in a regional. Do you guys know where they are?
Ooh. I heard they turned down the NCAA tournament to get ready for the transfer portal.
That lines up with what I've heard. They know that the real victory is in the transfer portal. You know, why win championships when you can win recruiting titles?
That's true.
So good call. Good call, Robbie.
Following the lead of Chris Beard.
Yeah. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Hopefully this weekend, if you're cooking out, beef is on the grill. The weather's going to be fantastic. I mean, it's hot. I know it's hot, but it's summer in Mississippi. You know, just go inside, get a drink, cool off for a minute, head back outside. You'll be fine. Steaks don't take long to cook as it is. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill, so I hope this weekend and every weekend you're cooking out, you're doing it with beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and you are looking for. You're looking for a great lunch, great dinner here in Starkville. I tell people all the time, go to Two Brothers. You won't be misled going there. And I'm telling you now to go check out the new restaurant, the Older Brother. In the old Two Brothers location in the Rue de Grand Fromage, some upscale sandwiches. And I know that sounds a little weird to think about, But when you go in there and try out their menu, it's really, really good. They've got some good stuff. Are you a big deviled eggs guy, Robbie?
Yes.
They have deviled eggs on the menu, and I was a friend of mine, our friend Martin was in there, and he's mm-hmm. like, "Hey, Dad, I know you don't like eggs, but these are incredible." He said their deviled eggs are unbelievable. So next time when you finally get up there, Robbie, you need to try out their deviled eggs.
I will indeed.
All right. Guys, check out the Older Brother on Rue de Grand Fromage and there on University Drive, the home of Smoked Southern Soul Food, Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service is what every business promises you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. They are going to take care of you after the sale. That's how you stay in business that long. That's how you stay relevant with your customers, by knowing that, hey, something's gone wrong, we can call Advantage Business Systems and they'll get it fixed. They might be able to even get in here today. What would you rather hear? Your business is very important to us as you're on the phone for 45 minutes, or hello? Feels like a pretty easy answer to me. So why don't we talk to our friends at Advantage Business Systems the next time you need technology. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the ballpark, before you're in the stadium, anytime you're in Starkville, when you need Mississippi State gear, you know the place to go is Maroon & Co. They have gear you can't get anywhere else. They've got the logos that you want. They've got the Bulldog Initiative line. Nobody else has that. And for Dad, if you're looking for a great Father's Day gift, Maroon & Co. is loaded with them. There's nothing you can pick that Dad won't be pleased with. So check them out, Maroon & Co. here in Starkville. Before you go to the ball game, you need to go to Maroon & Co. All right, next question comes to us from R.J. Sweatman. I've watched enough baseball to know that official scoring is atrocious. With that said, how much faith can we put in fielding percentage and batting average? Not a lot. Not a lot. I mean, my guess is there's, what, 56 games a year in college baseball. There's probably 20 errors scored that should be hits, and 20 hits scored that should be errors. Does that feel about right for you?
It could be.
I
think it's an issue for everybody. So it all evens out.
Yeah.
Like it all evens out, but it doesn't tell the true story of where your numbers actually are.
Yeah.
But when you look at the rankings and you look at, you know, State's one of the better defensive clubs in America, I think that tells you that they've probably made way more plays than not.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then their pitching's really good. So, it probably evens out in the wash a little bit. But, yeah, it doesn't really tell you 100%, you know, what your team is from a fielding or offensive viewpoint, I guess.
Yeah. Also from RJ, what holiday has the best TV programming? That's a good question. I think it's got to be Thanksgiving, right? Because that's the one that has football. You get three NFL games and a couple of college games.
Well, Christmas has football now.
And it does. It has NFL. There's no college football on Christmas, though.
No, unless you have a bowl game.
Yeah. And then, like, a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is a good one. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Well, there's so many good Christmas movies.
Yeah, yeah. It's either Christmas or Thanksgiving, right? Like, Fourth of July, you're just getting more movies. Same with Memorial Day. Same with Veterans Day. Valentine's Day is definitely not it. Nobody wants a rom-com.
No.
So I'm gonna vote Thanksgiving just because it is the most football-centric holiday to me.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I'll say Christmas on the whole, like the everything you get with Christmas, and it's like a whole month of it.
Yeah. Austin McMullen, yesterday I was in the drive-thru at McDonald's and noticed they offer Braille menus. Why? Are blind people driving to McDonald's? I hope not. I guess it's got to be one of those things where if you're driving a blind person,
yeah,
give them that menu. But here's my question. When you go to McDonald's, you don't go to McDonald's, but most fast food places, do you need to look at the menu? I just know what I'm going to get at McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point in life, I mean,
but I guess that's
give me the quarter pounder or something.
Hey, I've got a blind person in the car. Can I get a Braille menu? Yeah.
If you have to be driving,
let me know.
They're literally doing it so they're inclusive and nobody sues them. I mean, let's be honest about corporate does that now. They do stuff so they're all inclusive and they don't upset anybody. That's pretty much what that is.
Agreed.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm glad that they have those options.
Yeah. Wade Jones, have you ever noticed there are some songs you cannot whistle? Can you name any? I'll go first. Sweet Child of Mine. I mean, this is one of those questions, like, I'd have to do it, right? I'm sure there are some songs I can't whistle, but, like, I'd have to try. Name a random song you think you're pretty sure I would know.
Thunderstruck.
That's a tough one. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I can't. It doesn't sound like it.
It really, some of it depends on how high pitch you're doing. Yeah. And, you know, if you lower the pitch or something,
can you do probably Sweet Child of Mine? Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
So. I can do it.
Josh Patrick, I just found out the infamous Hard Times promo was cut on the day I was born. What is the most interesting thing that has happened in pop culture on your birthday? Now, I looked this up last night. Apparently, I have the single most insignificant birthday in the history of the world. On November 30th, 1975, the only thing that I could find that's happened is a country named Dahomey was renamed the People's Republic of Benin.
Is this like on your birthday, like when you're born, or the day you were born? What happened?
I'm looking at it as the actual day I was born.
Okay.
Also, the number one song in the UK that day was Bohemian Rhapsody. So I'll take that.
All right.
Yeah, nothing else happened though. Mindy McCready was born that day.
Okay.
Country singer.
Don't know who that is.
You would know her if you saw her. She passed away. Yeah, she had some issues with the drugs, I think.
Freddie Adu was born the same day as me.
Okay. Peyton Manning was born the exact same day as my wife.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Austin Davis was born the same day as me. The former Southern Miss quarterback. Yep.
There we go.
Anything else? Well, that's about it. Kind of boring.
It happens. Don't feel bad.
The Uniroyal Chemical Company announced a volunteer halt to sales in the United States of the chemical Alar, used to improve the shelf life and color of apples.
Okay. There you go.
Sasuke Uno succeeded Noboru Takeshita.
Careful.
Takeshita, I think is the right. I think that's the right last name.
He's a wrestler.
If I know my wrestling the way I believe I do.
Uh-huh.
That was the Prime Minister of Japan.
Ah, okay.
And finally, 18-year-old Tina Bell disappeared in Billingham, England. Her remains would be found on April 1990 on Wasteland at ICI Billingham. As of 2019, Bell's murder would remain unsolved.
That's tough. There you go.
Thank you, Wikipedia. All that could be incorrect. I don't know.
Kyle Wilson asks, what movie are you most looking forward to this summer? I don't even know what movies are coming out this summer, man. I used to be a movie guy, but I have no idea what's coming out. I know we're 2 years away from the next Batman. So other than that, I don't know. What is coming out this summer?
I don't remember. I know so House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming out. Yeah. I know that's in a movie, but that's coming out. What else is coming out this summer?
Let's see here. What do we got coming out this summer? That's already out. The Garfield movie?
Eh.
Inside Out 2? You'll probably go see that.
Maybe. I'll probably just wait for it to come out on Disney Plus.
A Quiet Place Day 1? That's interesting.
Oh.
Quiet Place is a movie that has... that's a cool story. I like where they got with that. The new Bad Boys comes out. Despicable Me 4. Come on. They're still doing that. What are we doing? Twisters.
Twisters. Yes.
I'm interested to go see. Yes.
Yes.
Deadpool and Wolverine. I might go see that. Is there anything else? that's just got my attention here. Yep, those are the only ones that really got. Oh, I'm not going to go see that, but they're remaking The Crow. That makes me really mad. It does not look.
Oh, good. Yeah, you can't do that.
Can't do that. The Crow was.
Hold on just a second.
Yeah.
I'm looking at more what happened on June 2nd.
Uh-huh.
The Rolling Stones bass player was married to an 18-year-old.
In what year?
1993, they got divorced. So they were actually married, I guess, before she was 18. There's no way that's correct. What's he was name? 52 years old and she was 18.
Bonnie Wood, right?
Bill Wyman.
Bill Wyman. Okay.
That's okay,
Bill
sick.
Wyman. Still alive. So, hold on. Get the Wikipedia up here. So he married. Where did he go?
They got married when he was 52 and she was 18. According to this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh man, yeah. that's disgusting.
They first had their relationship and when she was 14.
No.
Yeah.
How was he not in prison?
I mean, maybe it's just back then the laws were different. Maybe the laws are different in Britain. I don't know.
So she was 14. He was 48.
Her dad must have been like the biggest Rolling Stone fan. Like, it's fine. It's fine.
Oh, God.
That's horrible. Jeez.
I know this happened like back in the 60s or mm-hmm. whatever, but geez, man.
Yeah.
Also, James Woods. Ooh, piece of candy.
Ooh, piece of candy.
He got married to his horse trainer, Sarah Owen, on June 2nd, 1989. He was 42. She was 26. That's not as bad.
That's not as bad. That's totally acceptable.
These old, like, rich people and famous people, like, going after these, like, young girls.
It's not great. Also from Kyle, well, much better question here. We can get away from that. What is a food that you wish was sold at concession stands that is not? You know what? It would be nice, like, It's just Dippin' Dots. I wish there was like real scooped ice cream at concessions.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
There is apparently at Kentucky, I guess.
Really?
Or maybe there's a soft serve.
I wish. And like, I wish there was like pulled pork sandwiches. Like you can't ever get, you know, I just want meat and bread, some barbecue sauce maybe. I don't need all the other accoutrements. But I wouldn't mind that. Let's see here. Pip Horrell asks, spent the weekend assembling a gazebo with my family. The instructions were poorly written and led to disassembling and reassembling several parts. What's the worst experience assembling something you purchased with some assembly required? First off, when they say some assembly required, what they mean is you got to put the whole damn thing together. All right, there is some assembly. Assembly is required. I mean, I've put together a Barbie dream house, a playhouse, a trampoline. None of those were particularly fun, but I was able to get through the instructions well enough. I don't have a nightmare story on that one. Do you?
Yes. I have two. Okay. Of course, you know, we help out Santa Claus on Christmas.
Yeah.
He brings certain things and we do the other things. And I make sure that my daughter knows that, like, book over there is from Santa Claus. This giant thing that we had to assemble that took 15 hours, that's from me
mm-hmm.
and your mom.
Right.
Okay. Santa Claus didn't do that. So one of the ones was I have this jungle gym, like, thing in my backyard. And myself and my brother-in-law put this together. We moved everything out of the middle of the room we were in. We escaped the family for like a few hours. It was only going to be like a couple hours or whatever. And this thing took us like 6 hours to put together. And when we got done with it, I turned to him and I said, how are we getting this thing out? What are we going to do to get this thing out of the house? Because it's like 6.5 feet wide and it's probably about, 4 feet tall. I did not foresee this going out the door. So basically we had to like loosen up all the screws and bend it and like manipulate it. And when we started walking out with it, I said, don't stop. Just keep walking and force it out the door. And somehow we got it out. And it was like 20 degrees outside. It was awful. But we got the thing out. And then I had to move it across the street from where I was to my house now. I had to put it on a trailer and like get it across the street. It was a disaster. That was bad. And then I had to put together a Jeep, like one of those.
Like a Power Wheel.
Jeeps.
Yeah.
That was terrible. All they give you, like, you actually have to put the whole Jeep together, like the axle and everything. So that was bad. And then a little costume dress dresser type thing. I had to put the – Becky just gave me this stuff to put together and went to bed.
Oh.
And I had to put it all together myself. So a lot of cuss words.
I hear you.
A lot of yelling, things like that.
Okay. There you go. Ford Polk, has there ever been a better WWE referee than Earl Hebner? Yeah. Mike Chioda.
What about Little Nate?
Little Nate also better than Earl Hebner. I love Little Nate.
Earl Hebner, he got a little bias sometimes. Yeah. He's drinking beer with Stone Cold.
He had the issues with his twin brother that time. I mean, you know, all sorts of stuff going on there.
How much was the plastic surgery, brother?
Are there some movies you won't watch on cable? For instance, I watched some of The Wolf of Wall Street, and three quarters of it was blacked out or beeped out, and it was unwatchable. You got to know going in, right? Like, if you're like, man, this movie has a lot of curse words in it. Like, yeah, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch The Godfather on basic cable.
I mean, you can't understand anything that's happening because it's so manipulated.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. I don't want to deal with that. So, let's see here. Cameron Worm, I'm getting married this upcoming Saturday. Any advice? Run. Get out while you still can.
Brian apparently is not having a good time.
I'm just saying. There are other options. Now, just enjoy it, man. Just enjoy it. Great question.
Here. Don't go to – here's my advice. Don't go to Brian for advice. That would probably be wise.
Stop asking for marriage advice from me. I don't have any good stuff to share. Also from Cameron, is the best defense a good offense or is the best offense a good defense? I am a firm believer that the best defense is a good offense.
Yes.
Yeah, keep the ball away from the other team. That's how to win.
I agree.
All right. Caleb,
score points.
Neither Joe Powell nor Kyle Steven participated in Senior Day. Does that mean there's a chance that they come back? I was under the impression they were out of eligibility. I think they both could come back. Steven will get drafted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, they definitely have another year because Cal Steven was a freshman in 22, sophomore last year, is a junior this year. So he has one more year of eligibility. And Joe Powell was a freshman in 2020, so that year didn't count. And then 21-22 at Cincinnati set out last year, but I still think it – does it not count against your eligibility still? Isn't your clock still running?
I believe that's correct.
If that's the case, then he doesn't have another year left. But I'm sure they can appeal that.
Yeah, probably would easily get it, yeah.
Because he, like, stepped away from baseball. He was injured, I think. I don't know. But it is interesting he didn't take part in Senior Day.
I Powell probably back. Steven will get drafted. So that's just how I'm going to look.
Powell is listed as a senior.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that
we'll see
matters. But
it doesn't matter anymore, I don't think so. I think we're like one more year we got to deal with the COVID stuff, and then it'll be, all right, you got 4 years, play. So.
Yeah.
Mason Welch, Brian, before the season started, you stated that Lemonis needed to host to keep his job. Has your opinion changed? Do we make it back to Omaha sometime over the next 5 years? I believe what I said was, if Brian Haydad was the athletic director, it would be host or go. I'm not interested in being a two seed. And I will tell you that if your standard is what it, I know that there's like, well, we've only hosted this many times in this many years. I don't care. When that stadium got built, the standard became hosting 4 out of 5 seasons.
Yeah.
You're about to go 3 straight without a host. I would tell you that, you know, I wouldn't let him go, but I mean, I don't take him off the hot seat either. You got to deliver again next year, and you really need to host next year. All right, it's time for Mississippi State to get back where it belongs, and that's in Omaha. And the way to do that is to host regionals and super regionals. Period.
Yeah, and I think even though they got screwed in this year's regional selections, they should have hosted, but I mean, they were still on the fence. You shouldn't even be on the fence at Mississippi State. You should be firmly hosting. I'm not, and there's going to be years where you have ups and downs. I totally get it. That's not that big of a deal. You know, every now and then you're not going to be able to host. But 3 years removed from a national championship, you should be in the hosting realm. So
that's what I would say, Robbie. It's like Mississippi State won a national title, and it's taken them 3 years just to get back to the point where they're in somebody else's region.
Right.
I mean, that's not getting it done. That is not getting it done.
So, and let's be honest, like the next year looks kind of bleak right now.
Yeah. I mean, if they go to Omaha, fine. They did a great job. That's great.
Yeah.
If this season ends in the regionals, they can't make it to a super regional. It's a subpar season, in my opinion.
Yeah, they left a lot on the table.
Yeah, and then
it's time to start already talking about it. Is like next year looks like a big time rebuild unless they can go get some monsters in the portal.
Yeah,
and that remains to be seen. So I don't, you know, the pressure should always be there.
Yeah,
you got to win, and I think they've done a great job. You know, Justin Parker has been unbelievable what he's done with his pitching staff, but the offense is a massive issue. What they're doing offensively is not great. Go look at the numbers. It backs it up. And it's been backing up for the last few years. So offense has now got to be addressed. They've got to get way better on the offensive side. They haven't been a really good offensive team since 2019. They had some really good moments in 2021. I think you could probably call that a good offense.
Yeah.
They were one of the best offenses in the country. Yeah. They're one of the best offenses in the country in 19, but the last 3 years, the offense has not been good.
Yeah.
And like I said, the numbers bear it out. So they've got to get better there.
Yeah. Our last question of the day comes to us from Rob Hadaway. Please rank these horrible people. Person who doesn't put their grocery cart in the parking lot, or doesn't put up their grocery cart, I should say. Person on the airplane who leans their seat back on a non-overnight flight, the Vandy Whistler. Let me tell you why the Vandy Whistler is number one. The guy on the plane, he bothers one person, you, if you're behind him, right? He bothers the person sitting directly behind him. That's it. Nobody else is bothered by this man's decision to lean his seat back. The person who doesn't put their grocery cart up bothers the guy who puts up the grocery carts. Might bother somebody who's looking for a parking spot, and they're like, well, there's a cart there. But that's it. Maybe two people get bothered, right? Everybody at the game and watching on television is bothered by the Vandy Whistler. He is the worst person in that group.
Yes. The absolute worst.
There you go.
And then the cart, the buggy person is really bad. And that's
buggy person is second. Because the guy with the seat back, yeah, he sucks, but he's literally only bothering you.
Yeah.
So you can't.
Yeah, and again, I was a cart pusher at Walmart back in the day.
Yeah.
And that absolutely drove me insane when somebody would just leave it in a parking space. Like, take your lazy butt 10 feet down the parking lot and push it into the little buggy area, please.
I mean, I agree with
lazy, you. Lazy, man.
I agree with you. All right, tomorrow's show, more baseball. We got a couple more weeks for opponent previews, but we got a bunch of other stuff to do. We'll do that when we do that on tomorrow's show, though. So also want to point out that today's show is the 3rd anniversary of Robbie joining us here on Thunder and Lightning, from back in the summer of 2021 to today. So we've had a good run, and we're going to keep that going. We got some great stuff coming this summer. We will have, we should have our dates, everything locked in for the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour very, very soon. So we'll do that as well. We'll let you know where we're headed very, very soon. Guys, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.